great service we had last week with Bishop Stark. Real quick, just Sister Kendra, could you come up here real quick? Now, if you've been around here at any time, you know the fact that she's actually doing this is a miracle.
Amen. Yeah.
How long had it been that you've been walking around crutches?
Over a month. So December 18th was when I hurt my knee.
So you had a doctor's appointment scheduled to go get it looked at, but the Lord spoke to you in prayer and told you that before you even get to the doctor, he was going to heal you. And last Sunday in the altar right here, in the midst of everything God was doing, I looked over and I thought, what just happened? I saw the crutches flying and I saw the brace coming off and I saw her jumping. That's the God we serve. You understand? He's still a healer. God is still a healer. He's still doing miracles. Amen? Amen. Thank you. I just wanted just to put God on display for a second. We need to rejoice over every miracle. Every miracle that takes place. And I believe that's just the beginning of what God's going to be doing around here. Amen? John chapter 4, verse 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "And when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." And right here is where I want to take my thought from today. Verse 4. "And he must needs go through Samaria." He must needs go. Look at your neighbor and say, "He must needs go." For a few moments, I want to talk on this topic, beyond shortcuts. Beyond shortcuts. There are some things I know I've heard people say, you know, well, if you can just cut corners, get it done a little quicker. There are some things in life you can get by with that. But there are some things in life and eternity that you cannot. Beyond shortcuts. I want you to put your Bibles down. Let's lift our hands and ask the Lord to speak to us today in this place, remaining in this service. God, I ask you right now. God, your word is already anointed. I ask you today, Jesus, that you would right now. God, let your spirit flow through this place. Minister to the hearts and minds, Lord God, of the people in this room. God, anoint, God, my lips to bring forth your word, Jesus. Let your word go forth today. Let it change somebody, God. Let it challenge somebody, God. Let it bring somebody to an altar, God. I pray today, God, that your will be done, Jesus, in this place. God, that we not hold it back in any way, Lord. We give you glory for it today. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Beyond shortcuts. Subtitle will be Cultivating Disciplines on the Road to Transformation. There are some things we have to cultivate in life, and disciplines are those. I want to open with this. I want to challenge each of us this year to bring some godly disciplines into our lives. As your pastor, I want to see you discipline yourself and every one of us in this room to discipline ourselves to pray more than you have ever prayed before. I think last week was just evidence to us of what takes place when the church prays and we fast. There's a reason that the atmosphere was set last week for Bishop Stark to come and speak such a phenomenal word to us. But there was an atmosphere in this place for miracles to take place. There were some things, there were some walls that were torn down. There were some chains that were taken off of some people last week. It didn't just happen on Sunday morning, but it took place when we started prayer on a Monday night. And on a Tuesday night, I believe the youth got together on a Tuesday night. And my goodness, if you did not see the videos or the pictures of what they did in this place, I'm thankful to have a younger generation that knows how to pray, that knows how to tap into the things of God. Wednesday night, we had to take it to our homes and pray in our homes because we lost power here at the church. And then Thursday night, the ladies came in here. And I tell you one thing, I know we have ladies in this church that know how to pray. And I'm thankful for a church that has women that know how to touch the throne of God. I'm thankful for that. Friday night, we took it back into our homes. And I'm thankful that for 24 hours straight in this sanctuary, from Saturday morning until Sunday morning, there was nonstop prayer going on. I'll tell you right now, nonstop prayer begins to tear things down. And because of that, we came in here, and that's why I could testify this morning of Sister Kendra coming up here and having a miracle in her body. That's why some of you were set free from things that's been binding you for a long time, because we were not willing to take shortcuts, but we said, God, whatever it costs, we will do whatever it costs, because we want to see your hand move, God. We want to see your power sweep through this place. We want to see revival. We want to see miracles, God. God, I want to get beyond shortcuts, because I want whatever you have for me in this church in this hour. We got to get beyond it. I want to see that. I want us to pray like never before. I want to have discipline ourselves to fast when no one asks you to fast, but because God longs for me to do it. I want us to discipline ourselves to get in God's word.
Yeah.
Not just to keep up on a word chart.
Right.
I don't want this just to be a goal for the year so at the end you can say, look what I did.
That's right.
Now this is good to have a guide. You should have it. Everybody should have one. But you'll start seeing shortly once you get into this that the reason you get into the word of God is because the word of God can change you. The word of God can speak to you. That when you can't get a hold of your friend, or you can't get a hold of a prayer team, or you can't get a hold of the pastor, that you understand you open up the word, that when no one's available, that the word of God is always there to give you a word. The word of God is always there to encourage you and lift you up, pick you up and turn you around. The word of God is always there. I want us to discipline ourselves to walk in the righteousness of God.
Amen. Yeah.
There's anything in life I don't want to shortcut, it is that. Because when you begin to shortcut righteousness, you begin to set the line of what is right and what is wrong.
Wow.
And there's a lot of people that try to set that line of what is right and what is wrong. They begin to remove scripture from the word to make the word fit their life. I find it interesting in this open text that Jesus didn't say, I want to go to Samaria. But he says, I must needs go to Samaria. You see, the difference between wanting to and needing to lies in the desire and necessity. To Jesus, it was a necessity that he make that stop in Samaria. You see, his disciples couldn't understand why they had just left Judea and were heading to Galilee, and this really was kind of out of the way for them. And I could see Matthew maybe saying to Jesus, hey, there's a shorter way to get to Galilee than going through Samaria. Why do we have to go that way? Can we not just go this way? There's a shortcut around it that we could take. We could get to where we're going, and why do we need to be distracted by Samaria? And on the top of that, that there are Samaritans and we don't have anything to do with them, Jesus. What in the world are you going there for? Dirty people. We don't mix and mingle with them. What in the world? Why would you want to go there? Jesus, let me show you a shortcut to Galilee, Jesus. Why would you ever want to go there? But he says, I must needs go to Samaria. Jesus was teaching us something powerful in this moment. That living for God is not always about my wants, but it's more about my needs. God's will and my wants, hold up, don't always line up.
Come on. Truth.
As hard as that one is to swallow sometimes, it is truth that God's will and your wants will not always line up.
It's true.
And the question is how do you receive that when that takes place?
Right.
There are some things in our lives that we prioritize as wants that overshadow our needs. But all too often, the desires for our wants make us take shortcuts around our needs. But I want us to understand this morning that there are needs in our lives that are essential aspect of who we are in Christ. There may be some things that I want in life, but I need prayer because He is in it. I need fasting because it draws me closer to Him. I need His word because I long to hear His voice. I need righteousness in my life because I long to do what is right in His eyes. I must need some things in my life that might not be comfortable to the flesh, but if you realize everything I mentioned, it is His. It has God in the equation. I need prayer because He is in it. I need fasting because it draws me closer to Him. I need His word because I long for His voice. I need righteousness because I long to do what's right in His eyes. He needs to be the center of everything you're going after. Everything you're doing is because you need Him more than ever. I need it. I don't just want Him. I need Him. I was sitting down there earlier thinking about this in my office, thinking about this message and that song. It's probably, I would say, it's probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite song that has really ministered to me throughout my life is, I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. You ever had those moments? You didn't know your friends weren't there anymore. You didn't know what to do, which way to turn. There was no open doors. You just didn't know. You felt like you were just fading away. You just cry out, oh, I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour, I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. Sing it with me. I need Thee. Oh, I need this morning and you need Him, will you stand? If you need God to do something in your life, will you lift your hands and sing it one more time? I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Come on, His Spirit is here. Every hour I need Thee. Come on, He's ministering to somebody right now. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee, oh. Your hands all over this place right now. Come on, God is ministering right now in this moment. Come on, I feel his presence so strong in this room right now. God, I come to thee, Lord. I'm coming to you, Lord. God, I'm coming to you. Come on, he's waiting on somebody this morning. He's saying, come unto me. Oh, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come on, God is waiting for somebody to come to him this morning and cry out, I need thee, God. I'm not going to try to take a shortcut around it, Lord. God, but I need you this morning in this place. I need you in my life this morning, God. I need you, Jesus. Like never before, I need you, Lord. Oh, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, God. I need you, Lord. Come on, let's not rush past this. Let's not rush past this. God's ministering right now. His spirit's sweeping across this room right now. He hears your cry. Come on, he knows your needs. He knows your needs. Oh, God, I need you, Jesus. I need you like never before, Lord God. The church needs you like never before, Lord God. We must have you, Lord. God, we must have you, Jesus. Oh, I must need you, Lord, in my life. God, I can't make it without you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, riatolo curra, tayandolo lo sia, tayandolo lo sia. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to get to that place where it goes beyond just a want. You got to get to that place where it becomes a need. You wake up every morning not just say, oh, I want Jesus, because it's easy, the things that you want, it's easy just to move on past those things. But when you need something, you can't live and survive without it. You got to have him. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus, in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, when our wants become our needs. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Prayer, fasting, God's word and righteousness. Why must I need these things in my life? Why must I need prayer? See, for Christians, for us, prayer holds great significance as it deepens our relationship with God. It serves as a direct line of communication, allowing believers to express gratitude, seek guidance, and find comfort in times of joy and times of struggle. Prayer is a way to align one's will with God's purpose, creating spiritual growth and a sense of divine connection with our Maker. It also plays a crucial role in building faith, providing strength, and cultivating a profound awareness of God's presence in our daily life. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves and pray. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Yeah. Matthew 21:13 says, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. It is up to us what we make our homes into.
Yeah.
It is up to us what we make this temple into. Prayer is not optional in the life of a beyond average believer. A believer that does not take the shortcut, that does not try to bypass every situation that might bring some resistance. But I'm talking about a believer that says, I need him and I want everything that he has. I want to be different. I want to be righteous. I want everything that God is. That is what I'm talking about this morning. Prayer is a requirement. It's not a requirement of your pastor. It's a requirement of God. Genesis 6, 5 through 8, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, and for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why Noah? What was different about this man? Why did he find favor? What got the attention of God? You see, in Genesis 6 and 9, it says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah had a relationship with God. He walked with him. He talked with him. Listened to what God has to say, and he applied it to his life. That's different from listening to what God has to say and just going about your own business and doing your thing. A lot of people say, why am I in the middle of this mess? Why am I in the midst of this, God? Why am I going through this? A lot of those things, God spoke to us a way to avoid that, but we simply ignored the voice. You see, God gave him dimensions. He said, I want you to make this ark 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet tall. He gave instructions for the materials and told God told him to use gopher wood. So Noah, in response, he built the ark. He loaded his family and the animals, and for 40 days and 40 nights, it rained. And finally, they land on some dry land. They open the door and step back on dry land. And the first thing we see is this in Genesis 8 and 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord. The first thing, he doesn't come out and say, oh, we got to find some food, or we got to find some resources, we got to start building a house. No, the first thing he did was the most important thing to him. It is not something that he just wanted, but it was a need in his life. He said, I must build an altar and I must entertain the presence of God. I need to go pray. I need to talk to him. I need to sacrifice unto him because he is everything I need. Noah knew the importance of prayer, and Noah understood that prayer was not optional in order to walk with God. You see, prayer will convict you. Prayer will place you in the will of God. Prayer will open up the windows of heaven, and prayer turns the ear of God. Prayer creates relationship with God. Prayer controls the hand of God as well does a lack of prayer. Second Chronicles 7. Starting at verse 14, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, that mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom according as with David thy father, saying that there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of thy land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name. Then will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. But if my people will simply pray. What's he saying in this scripture, Pastor? He's trying to remind them who they are and where he saved them from. If you take a moment and just think about what he brought you from and what he saved you out of. Sometimes we need reminded because we grow numb to it. And we take for granted the things that God has brought into our life, how good he is. And there's a lot of times we go through seasons where the words of that song we just sang don't even cross our mind that I need you. Every hour. I like how it doesn't say, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every Sunday, I need thee. Lord, when my life's falling apart, I need thee. No, but when everything is going right, I need you to help me keep it together, God. Because without him, I can wander. Without him, if I don't realize my need every morning, then it might be easy to skip that prayer time. He says, if my people, if you'll just pray, if you'll just talk to me, I'll heal the brokenness. I'll heal the pain. If my people will pray, I'll restore unto you what a lack of prayer has stolen from you. I must needs pray. I need it. Why do we pray? Because some Christians don't pray because they just simply don't want to. Somewhere along the way, it became a want instead of a need. You see, wants are easy to forgive about. I always, as a teenager, I had my eyes set on a Mustang, and I wanted a Mustang, and that's what it was, a want of mine. And I'll never forget, I went to the car lot to get the Mustang, and that's why this is what I wanted, and nobody could talk me out of it, except for the salesman. And we started talking prices, and I'm a little bit stingy. Frugal, thank you. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. I'm a little frugal, and my kids love it sometimes. I'm a little frugal. But when they started talking about that, I realized I can just go get me a different car. And when I got myself a different car, that didn't cost as much, I eventually forgot about the want. Because I realized that my need outweighed my want. I needed a car. I don't think mom and dad wanted to take me everywhere. They got me to the place to get my license. They said, I've done my part. Go get a car. Take care of it. If you need something, go take care of it. You see, this morning, I can stand here and tell you, and I know you're going to be so shocked when I tell you this, that I want coffee. Amen. Amen. I knew there was going to be an amen on that one. I want coffee in my life every day. But I cannot stand here and say this. All you coffee lovers, brace yourself. Get ready. But I cannot stand here and tell you that I need coffee every day. I know you're saying, Pastor, there's the altar, repent. I know that's what you're thinking. But everyone in this room, you don't need it every day. Brother Tim, you know what I'm going to say. I've never seen someone love Mountain Dew like Brother Tim. He loves it. He loves a Mountain Dew. I'll never forget when I called the church on a fast. He was helping out our house. We were building the house. He was helping. And I called us on a sugar fast. And he was there with me all week. And he said, Pastor, what are you doing to me? He said, I can't have Mountain Dew. I can't have it. And the best part about this was, you remember that next week they came out with that sugar-free, and he said, we were on a sugar fast. But I will say that is kind of cutting the corners a little bit when it comes to fasting. Just throw that out there. But there's a difference between this one and the, I really want coffee, but reality is I need water to survive.
Yeah.
I could never fulfill that want again and survive and still live. But the moment that I forsake the need of water, I will start to die. All my vital organs begin to shut down, and I begin to wither away, and life starts to slowly leave my body. Prayer is like the water to the spiritual man. You can only forsake it for so long until you start dying on the inside, until you start shutting down. There's a reason. I'm going to tell you right now. How to do? I don't know how long I've been going. 29 minutes. You know, I might save the rest of this for another week. We're just going to end right here. I'll tell you this. There's a reason that Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria, because he understood there was a woman there that was trying to live on something else besides water in the spirit. And that's why he went there and he told her. He said, what you've been trying to find your satisfaction in is not going to bring you satisfaction. He said, but understand, there's a water you can tap into. He said, there is some water that's going to flow. There's a river that's never going to run dry. He said, what you need is sitting on the well, and you've been trying to get it from the well. I'm telling somebody this morning, you need to tap into your prayer life. You need to get some discipline in your prayer life, because this is where life is at. This is where it's at. It's not in your wants. It's in your needs. You must need prayer. You can't survive without it. I'll tell you right now, you have taken your needs, and someone in this room has set it on a shelf somewhere, and you've been wallowing. This is not in my notes. You have been wallowing in your wants for long enough. And I'm telling you, you're miserable in your wants because it's not enough. And you said, Pastor, it's been a long time since I've spoken in that heavenly language. Pastor, it's been a long time since I've felt the presence of God. Pastor, it's been a long time since I felt his hand rest upon me in my home. It's been a long time. It's because you've been consuming your wants and you've been neglecting your needs. Somebody needs to tip back today. Take a drink of the river that never runs dry. Somebody needs to say, oh, I need thee. Come on, these altars are open this morning. I'm calling somebody to prayer this morning. I'm calling someone who is spiritually dehydrated. Come on, you're spiritually dehydrated. It's been a long time. You need it. Somebody needs it this morning. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. God, fill it up. Let it overflow this morning. Come on. I think everyone in this room should be making your way to an altar this morning. Come on, exchange your wants for your needs. You need him this morning. You need him. You need him. We need him. Come on. God, I need that discipline in my life for prayer. God, I must have it, Lord. God, I must needs. God, I'm tired. God, I'm trying to take a shortcut. God, I'm tired of trying to go around. God, everything that you have for me, Lord. God, I'm not going to do it anymore. God, I'm going to get beyond the shortcuts in my life. God, and I'm going to tap in, Lord, to that river that never runs dry. Come on, lift your hands this morning. Come on, let it begin to flow out of you. Let it begin to flow out of you. Maybe it's been a while since you spoke in that heavenly language. Open your mouth and let it flow out this morning. Let God refill you this morning. Come on. Tap into it this morning. Tap into that stream. Come on. Come on, you've been dehydrated long enough in the spirit. Somebody get a refreshing. Somebody get a refreshing this morning. Oh, I must needs go.
Rotocura Tayandolo Lucia.